जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम। व्हाट इज सांख्य? व्हाई नॉट डिफरेंट फ्रॉम डिवोशनल सर्विस? सो देर आर many philosophies in India, originating from India. The Western philosophers are also many, but here we are talking about the philosophy evolved from time immemorial in Bharatavarsha called India. So in the beginning there was Charvaka, atheistic philosophy. Everybody was atheistic. So to bring his philosophy back into God consciousness, there is a different evolution of philosophy. Jain Darshan, then Mimamsa, Bodha Darshan. After Jain came Bodha Darshan. Then came Sankhya Darshan, Sankhya philosophy. There is a atheistic Kapil and theistic Kapil Muni or Sankhya philosophy. And then Patanjali, he bring God, Lord in the center of yoga system, and he gave Yoga Darshan. Darshan means philosophy. And then came Nyaya Darshan. And then comes Vaisheshik Darshan, the combine of Sankhya and Yoga, those combination of those darshan and plus little more became Vaisheshik Darshan. And then what we are following evolved to that darshan called Purva Mimamsa Darshan, meaning Vedanta. And all darshan, all these darshan that I said, they all have their sutras. Sutras means a little aphorism, short sentences, which are the essence of volumes and volumes of books, like Athato Brahma Jigyasa, one sutra. And you can give lecture on this one sutra for month and 2 months and unlimited time almost. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. So like this sutra. So every philosophy has their sutra. Now Sankhya philosophy has a Sankhya Darshan, has also sutra. The Sankhya Darshan is enunciated in Bhagavatam by Kapil Muni. That Darshan is non-different than devotional service, like you said. Why not differ? Because that Sankhya Darshan of Kapil Muni, which is mentioned Kapil Dev and Devahuti in Bhagavatam, that darshan, that Sankhya Darshan, is non-different than the devotional service. So we can go in detail about this Sankhya Darshan. So Sankhya means Sankhya. Sankhya means numerical counting, this number, Sankhya. Number. So in Sankhya Darshan, there are different elements that one should know, counting different elements. And they are starting from Prakriti Purush, means Supreme Personality of Godhead, the enjoying, cheap living entity. And then Mahatattva, Ahankar, mind. Then comes Prakriti. Prakriti means energy of the Lord. So, Mool Prakriti, and then Vikruti. Vikruti are 16 number. So that is 5 Gnanendriya, means knowledge acquiring senses. And that is eyes, nose, tongue, ear and skin. Aak, Kaan, Naak, Jeeb, Tvacha. These 5 are the knowledge acquiring senses. And then पांच कर्मेंद्रिय, पांच कर्मेंद्रिय, कर्मेंद्रिय मीन्स एक्टिंग सेंसेस, एक्शन सेंसेस. सो दोज कर्मेंद्रिय आर लेग्स, हैंड्स, वाणी मीन्स स्पीच, एंड टू गुप्त मीन्स इवैक्यूएटिंग सेंसेस, वेयर वी इवैक्यूएट, एंड प्रजननेन्द्रिय मीन्स द सेक्सुअल सेंसेस, यू कैन से प्रजननेन्द्रिय. So these are five karmendriyas, and then five mahabhut, panch mahabhut, that is earth, water, fire, air and ether. So these five are mahabhut, the material elements, and this makes it 16 elements. And then seven other elements are mahatattva, means the material elements, mahatattva, ahankar, false ego, and panch tanmatra. Tanmatra is sabda, sparsh, roop, ras, gandh. Sabda means sound. Sabda, sparsh means touch, sensation of touching. Sabda, sparsh, roop means form, one sees the form, roop. Ras, taste. Ras means taste. Roop, ras and gandh. Gandh means the smell. So these five tanmatras. And then prakriti and purush. So this total up to 25 elements. So this is sankhya. This is counting. So what it means is that purush, lord, god, and then prakriti, the mother nature, and then five knowledge acquiring senses, five working senses, and five tanmatras means sabda, sparsh, roop, ras, gandh, and five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then mind, intelligence, and false ego. So this comprises 26 elements. Sankhya, sankhya, numbers. Counting numbers, Sankhya philosophy. So there are different opinions about Sankhya philosophy, and that is Kapil Muni, who is son of Devahuti. His Sankhya Shastra is transcendental knowledge, and whatever he propagated, Kapil Muni, is none other than devotional service to Krishna, or himself, he is Krishna, God. So he established devotional service, and he states this philosophy to his mother Devahuti, and that is in Bhagavata. So this is how we have to understand Sankhya philosophy, that there are all these 25 elements, and 25th one is Ishvara or Purusha or controller or the God. And Kapil Muni is saying that all these material elements puts living entity into suffering conditions. Suffering. Material world puts living entity into suffering condition. So then he says, by performing devotional service to Krishna, you can get out of this Maya, which is his energy, which is working under Krishna's direction. So a living entity in the jail wants to get out of the jail. The constable, controller of jail, is material nature, and material nature is working under the direction of Lord Krishna. And if you surrender to that Krishna, then material nature will leave you alone, Maya will leave you alone. You can cross over the suffering of material world, and you go to that realm where there is no birth, death, old age and disease. There is no any kind of distresses or any kind of unhappiness or any kind of suffering. That is called Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha. Kuntha means suffering. Vai means no suffering. So that is Vaikuntha. And topmost planet in Vaikuntha is Krishna Loka, where Krishna resides. And that is called Golok Vrindavan, and where you always be with Lord, interact with Lord, and you enjoy like Lord. Not you become Lord, but you enjoy like Krishna is enjoying. Same kind of pleasure you can derive. So this is Sankhya Darshan, Sankhya Darshan. You can go through the Srimad Bhagavatam about Devahuti and Kapil Dev. You can understand in detail. So let's go a little further. Now next one is four regular principles. What is the point of each one of them and why we should follow them? So everybody knows four regular principles is no illicit sex, gambling, meat eating and intoxication. So Kali Yuga, which is the bad age of quarrel and hypocrisy, it is very bad, it creates very bad influence on living entity, the Kali Yuga. There is a story in Bhagavatam, you can read in first canto, that Parikshit Maharaj, he was going about in his kingdom and he came across one bull representing Dharma, and that bull has four legs, and four legs of Dharma is Satyam, Saucham, Daya and Tapa. Satyam, Saucham, Daya and Tapa. So these are the four legs of religion. Any religion is sustained by this principle, by four things, and that is Satya, purity. Satyam, Saucham. Sauch means internal, external purity. Saucham, Daya means mercy, mercifulness to other living entity. Mercy, Satyam, Saucham, Daya and Tapa. Tapa means austerity. Daya means mercy, I said. Slaughtering animals, cutting animals' throat, killing them halfway and getting on somebody's unnecessary, on somebody's case. Husband to wife, wife to husband, mother-in-law to daughter-in-law, and father to son, son to father, and unlimited occurrences like that. So Satyam, Saucham, Daya and Tapa. So Tapa, austerity, the definition of austerity Srila Prabhupada gives is to voluntarily take trouble for pleasing Lord, for serving Lord Krishna. That is called austerity. Not those austerities like putting yourself into the water in below zero weather and meditate or whatever, or putting yourself in the summer season in India, it's very hot, 50 degree temperature, sun is very, very hot, and you ignite fire around you with the fuel, and you sit in the middle, torching heat around you and above you, and performing tapasya, austerity. Not that kind of vrata, that kind of austerity. Austerity means any trouble you take, like we take trouble from coming Maribor or from India, even coming to here, it is for preaching and it is for pleasing Prabhupada, pleasing Krishna, pleasing Gurudev. So we are doing this, so that is called tapasya. Vrindavan, nice place, nice house, nice servants, nice car, nice everything, and you know, everybody, nice temple, and very happy situation, very happy. But austerity, tapasya, is voluntarily taking trouble for pleasing Krishna. That is tapasya. Voluntarily taking trouble for pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna, is called austerity, tapasya. So these four are the legs of a bull called dharma. In other words, forget about bull now. These four are the legs or resting place for dharma. Dharma means religiosity. It's not translated right, but you can say religiosity. So religiosity is based on these four legs, religion. So Parikshit Maharaj, when he was traveling through his kingdom, he saw one black chubby and frushed, very strong, black man, black clothes, black everything, Kali, cutting the legs of this bull. So cow slaughtering, he was killing the bull. So immediately Parikshit Maharaj challenged him, "Who are you? Who can do such a ghastly act in my kingdom? Killing cow, killing bull, cow, same thing. Bull is father and cow is mother. Holy cow is a mother. And bull is, nowadays, bull, every single bull wind up in slaughterhouses because nobody is working with them for tilting the land, for growing food. Now it's a tractor everywhere, all over the world, tractor. So naturally, bulls have nothing to do. They beef it up, and then after their weight is gained, proper money can be acquired by sending them to slaughter. That's a Kali Yuga. So Parikshit Maharaj was challenging Kali, a man called Kali, Kali Yuga. And he says, "Why you are in my kingdom? Get out of here." And immediately Kali personified, offer obeisances to Maharaj Parikshit, and with folded hand, he surrendered to Maharaj Parikshit and said, "I am your subject. I am one of your praja. I am your subject. And please give me shelter." So he said, "I can give you shelter, but you can only live into these four places where there is illicit sex, gambling, meat eating and intoxication. In these things you can live." So then Kali Yuga, he complained that these are very filthy, dirty place you gave me. I don't like it. Please give me something, at least one thing good where I can live. So he said that, okay, where there is hoarding of gold, you can live in the gold. So these are the five places where Kali Yuga resides, ill effects of religiosity resides, the irreligion resides. Kali means irreligious, irreligion means it is dirty, no good, filthy. And what are those? Illicit sex, gambling, meat eating and intoxication. And by these four, you can destroy. By illicit sex, you can destroy your purity, your sadhuta, your sanity, your sovereignty. You destroy this purity. You become dirty by illicit sex. So, because it is Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga is residing in illicit sex, then slaughterhouses, meat eating, unnecessary killing, animals, innocent animals for our tongue. So Kali resides there. So by this we can destroy our mercifulness. No mercy. You kill anything and everything. If everybody kills here just for, you know, anything they see, they want to kill. So there is no mercy. You can become devoid of mercy if you are killing or slaughtering. Especially cows, mother cow. So illicit sex, gambling, meat eating. So gambling destroys truthfulness. If somebody gambles, he cannot be truthful. Gambling means cheating. So how can you be truthful? Gambling. So illicit sex, gambling, meat eating and intoxication. Intoxication destroys tapasya. You cannot perform tapasya or chant Hare Krishna when you are drunk to the max and you're just trying to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Impossible. There is no question. So that's why these four regular principles should be observed, because it puts Kali Yuga 10,000 miles away, 10,000 years away. And that's a plan of Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada and whole parampara, to push Kali Yuga 10,000 years away. And that's why Prabhupada wrote Bhagavata, in English translated, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just so that this can, is gone, Krishna consciousness movement can go on for 10,000 years and push Kali Yuga 10,000 years back. So this is the plan of Srila Prabhupada. So four regular principles, each regular principle, why follow them? Why follow them? If you don't follow these four, there is no question of dharma, religiosity. There is no question of purity. There is no question of mercy. There is no question of austerity. And there is no question of satyam, truthfulness. Satyam, socham, kshamadaya, kalena, balina, rajan, nasyanti, ayur, bala, smruti. As Kali Yuga progresses, these things will be destroyed. So, satyam, socham, kshamadaya, all this will be finished. At the end of Kali Yuga, you will not fight. Mother will eat and kill the child, and killing is even happening now within the womb. And they will be finished, chiro. We may speculate, what is this? Mother will eat the child. We may say that, what is this you're talking about? Mother will eat child. Mother is killing the child. So, same way, mother will eat the child. The same thing with daya, mercy. Now killing the mother, poor animal, cow. So they will kill everything and anything. It is happening. Satyam, socham, kshama, daya, merciful. There is no mercy. Anybody can kill you for anything. Satyam, no truthfulness. Truthfulness means honesty. No honesty. Everybody wants to stab you from the back. And you are afraid of everybody. And nowadays nobody wants to even become friendly. If you walk the street, nobody will say, hello, Hare Krishna. I chant in the morning outside the temple in Landava. And whoever meets us, hello, good morning. And say, this is see other way or whatever. As if I am the enemy or something. Happening, these things. He says, hello, good morning. No problem. Saying good morning, smile, very nice smile, make everybody happy, and they will be. So this kshatyam, socham, kshama, daya, kalena, balina, rajan, nasyanti, ayu, your life will be shortened to 30 years, 10 years, 5 years, and your height will be this, you will be looking like this, and balam, your energy will be reduced to. We already now not working. We don't see any muscle men anymore. And if you see them, artificial. This big bottle of calcium they will eat and all the medicine and then they will put it into muscle and looks like he's a muscle man. But it's all artificial. All artificial. Vitamin, you know. What is this nonsense? It's all nonsense. Very bad for the body. It's not natural. Not natural. Balina Rajan. Nasyanti, ayu, bala and smruti. You will hardly remember. They will pretty soon put chip in your brain. And somewhere they will find where they can put a little chip so you can remember and recall and, you know, they will do that. And your brain and your smruti and everything will be gone. Nasyanti, ayu, bala, smruti. That you will hardly able to remember. So these are the four regular principles, why we should follow them. Purity. We want to go back to Him. We want to become associate of Krishna. And Krishna does not like dirt. In His abode, in His house, He doesn't want any dirt, any impurity, any bad thing enter into His kingdom. He wants pure and happy, blissful love, pervades. This is the atmosphere he wants. Not this illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, intoxication. Doesn't exist there. Doesn't exist. So you have to leave it behind. And you have to practice now. If you can't practice here, you cannot practice there. Purity. These four regular principles means purity. Pure. You have to become pure. And then chant Hare Krishna. Then you can talk about love of Krishna. Love means opposite to lust. Illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, intoxication, lust, all these things is opposite to love. Love is opposite to lust. There is no love here. The closest love, Krishna says, that you can find in material world is parents and a child, especially mother and a child. That's the purest love you can find. Not husband or wife, not girlfriend, boyfriend. It's all you scratch my back, I scratch your back, and business. It's all business. But pure love you can find. Krishna is a pure lover. Pure lover. So to love, in order to reawaken our pure love for him, we have to stop these four nonsense. Illicit sex, gambling, meat-eating and intoxication. It puts you on purity, it puts you on sattvic, sattva guna, it puts you on mood of goodness. I mean, mood of goodness, and from mood of goodness, you can enter into mood of pure goodness. You can go into pure goodness, from mood of goodness. This four regular principle puts you on goodness. And chanting puts you on pure goodness. And go back to Godhead. Simple. Let's go a little further. Purushottam Mas Vrat. So, in this particular year, the fourth year, every 4 years, the sun does not fall into nakshatra, into rasi. So it becomes inauspicious, dirty, impure time. This 1 month, Purushottam month, because sun does not enter into the, what do you call in English, I don't know, zodiac and scorpion and Leo and whatever. What do you call those?
Astrology.
Whatever. So the sun is not entering. So then it is inauspicious time. So everybody started condemning this period, 1 month, extra leap year. So one extra month, which is extra. So everybody start hating this month. So this month personified, he became person. Personified, he prayed to Lord Vishnu, Krishna. This is my problem. I'm considered to be low and I'm considered to be inauspicious and nobody respects. Complaints. So the Lord Purushottam, Purush, Vishnu, he became pleased with this month. He said, okay, you ask the boon. And I give you boon that on this particular month, whoever chants extra holy name, whoever, basically he said Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, one who reads Bhagavatam during this month, he will get thousands and thousand times more credit than reading Bhagavatam other time. Whoever chants more Hare Krishna mantra, he will get more benefit than usual months. And whoever performs austerity in this particular month, Purushottam months, the benefit of his austerity will multiply manifold, and so on and so forth. So Lord Vishnu gave him the name called Purushottam. That is Lord Vishnu, Krishna is Purushottam. So Purushottam month. This month is Lord Vishnu's month, and whatever devotion you perform in this particular month, it multiplies manifold, many fold, and your love for Krishna can increase rapidly if you practice vrat, this Purushottam vrat. You're supposed to eat once, you're supposed to control your senses and control your mind and engage them in Krishna's transcendental loving service for a whole month. And by that, we can elevate ourselves. And Krishna will give us unlimited times more benefit than other months' devotional service. Devotional service in this month multiplies manifold. So this was the promise given to this month by Purushottam Krishna. Any question for that? Purushottam Vrat and month. So Vrat, you can eat simple once a day and simple food, not in a very rich and not very elaborate, simple food.
This knowledge of Bhakti Yoga should teach us how to behave?
Yes, that's the whole point of Bhakti Yoga. And that's why you have to have a spiritual master. He can teach you what is wrong and what is right. And right, he can teach you and bring you to the transcendental platform, anyone going back to home, back to Godhead. That's the whole point. We can become loved and lovable, and we can enhance ourselves. Okay, next, Hani on Ekadasi. So idea of Ekadasi is same as Purushottam month. We should control our senses, control our desire to gratify senses which produces distresses, control it. So Hani is taste. So we should minimize our taste on that day. Only eating on Ekadasi, we should eat phal, only fruits. Or if you want more, then eat those kind of vegetables which are non-grain vegetables, like no beans, string beans, and so many vegetables like that. Only eat vegetables that is allowed on Ekadasi. If you cannot sustain on this, then eat those kind of grains which are not grains, like buckwheat or quinoa. Anybody knows quinoa here? German food. It is German food from Germany. Quinoa. In London they cook quinoa also. But it is from Germany. So, like that. And if you cannot, then you can eat some milk preparation. Cheese, yogurt, milk, ghee, and so forth. And if you cannot do a little here, then you can increase to some milk sweets, barfi, and so on and so forth. But going to the honey and, you know, so many other things is for the taste. Idea of Ekadasi is to control Ekadas Indriya, is to control 11 senses. That's the idea of Ekadasi, to control 11 senses, called knowledge acquired senses is Akan, Nak, Jeev, Tvacha, and working senses, feet, hand, Gupta, Do, evacuating and Prajanendriya, Upastha, and Vani, and Man, to control these senses. That's the idea of Ekadasi. And then honey on top is coming from some bees, and same as milk is coming from cow, so we are allowed to have milk, then we should be allowed to have honey also. It is not grain, but we should restrict ourselves as much as we can. Okay, how Krishna forgive us, and how we can forgive others, and how we can clean our heart. How mother forgives child. Same way. Krishna is our mother. Krishna is our father. Krishna is our sastra, karta, harta, dharta. Everything Krishna. Krishna is our protector. Krishna is our provider. Krishna is our producer. Krishna is our mother. Krishna is our father. Krishna is all in all to us. So we are children of father, mother, Krishna. Tvameva mata cha pita tvameva. Krishna is mother, father. Pita ham yasya jagato mata dhata pita maha. Krishna is grandfather, Krishna is father, Krishna is mother, Krishna is provider, Krishna is protector, everything. So Krishna treats us like a child. You surrender to Krishna, immediately Krishna is there. Immediately. Just like a small child scolding mother and beating mother and everything and runs away and I don't want you, get out of here, leave me alone. But that same child after day to day, month comes back to mother and says, mother, I'm yours. Immediately mother will embrace the child. Not that she will complain, you run away, you scold me, you beat me, you bite me, you this. No, mother doesn't go into this. Please come, come, my son, my son, my son. Immediately. So Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal. He is overwhelmingly loving every single soul, every single individual soul. He loves. Why? Because every single soul is his part and parcel, his son or daughter or his own. Krishna loves his subject. Krishna loves every living entity. Krishna's name is love. God means love. So God means he is the love and he is loving every living entity. When we are rebellious, he puts himself into neutral gear. But when we turn our face towards him, immediately Krishna accepts you, embraces you, gives you love, gives you everything immediately. It doesn't take time. Immediately. Bhakta Vatsa, Krishna. Just like Draupadi, he call upon his name, Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal. Just little she call upon Krishna with love and devotion. And immediately Krishna runs. King, elephant, Gajaraj, he enter into the fight with crocodile, and water is the medium of crocodile and earth is the medium for elephant. So they were in water. So crocodile for 30 days Gajendra tried his own. But at the end he plucked the lotus flower and offered it to Krishna. And he called upon Krishna. And immediately Krishna rushed. Immediately. So Krishna doesn't see our offenses. Krishna sees our love. Shastra sadhu kripaye yadi Krishna unmukh hoy sei jivan nistare maya tahar chudai. By the mercy of shastra, scriptures, sadhu, vaishnava, devotees, guru, shastra, sadhu, guru, kripaye yadi Krishna unmukh hoy. By their mercy, if the living entity turned his face towards Krishna, immediately Krishna accepts him. Krishna unmukhoi. Sei jiv nistare. Krishna immediately comes and he rescue. Krishna comes as swift deliverer. He comes and delivers. Mrityu sansara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya avesita chetasham. Those whose heart is calling upon me, those whose heart are calling upon me, I become the swift deliverer for them from this ocean of material existence. He comes immediately. So this is Krishna's vatsalta, vatsal, bhakta vatsal. But we have to become bhakta. We have to become his devotees. We have to turn our face back to him. We are unmukh. Our face is away. Hari Hari Bipale Janam Goainu Manusya Janam Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Janiya Suniya Vishakhainu. So we have turned our face away from Krishna. This will give me pleasure. 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 Not Krishna. But the minute by the causeless mercy of devotees, gurus, sastra, we turn our face back to Krishna, immediately Krishna accepts us. Immediately. Just like a mother. Krishna is mother. And he is waiting for all of us. Every living entity is waiting for. But the living entity in material world is rebellious to him. They have turned their face away from Krishna. So, how Krishna forgive us? There is no question of how. All we have to do is turn our face to him. All we have to say is, Krishna, tavasmi. My dear Lord, I am yours. Please accept me, whatever I am. Please accept me. And immediately, Krishna will accept us. But we have to say that one thing. My dear Lord, I am yours. Krishna, tavasmi. That's all. Turn our face back to Krishna. Immediately he accepts us and forgive. And how we can forgive others? We can forgive others if we become compassionate, if we become merciful, if we become very, very, very humble, very humble, if we can become most tolerant, if we can become most tolerant, we can forgive others. So, this can be easily done by chanting. By chanting, our heart becomes softened. our heart becomes cleansed. Cheta darpan marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. Cheta darpan marjanam. Our heart becomes soft by sankirtan, by uttering the holy name of Krishna. How we can clean our heart? By cheta darpan marjanam, by constantly chanting the holy name of Lord, we can clean our heart very easy. Those who are sincere and serious for chanting holy name, they can easily cleanse their heart. And with that soft heart, we can forgive. So we can forgive like that. And what is criticism and correction? So criticism means one who is not subordinate to you, one who is not under you. And if you criticize him, or if you blaspheme him, or if you give him advice, or you tell him to do something forcefully, or whatever you do, that will be a rebellious situation. He will become rebellious. Because you are subordinate, you are not on top of him, you are not above him, but you are subordinate to him. And you are trying to tell him what to do. And that will become criticism. But suppose somebody is subordinate to you, child, or your servant, or your employee, or whoever, and you are at that position, and you are telling him, I want you to please do this, and not this way. Because you are in that above position, so you can correct him, you can tell him what to do, you can tell him what you expect, you can mold him, and do many things with him. But he has to accept you as your superior. He has to accept you. Then correction is easy. But if somebody is above you and you trying to correct him, advise him, order him, or you do whatever, it will be criticism and it will be blaspheming. It will not go anywhere. So we should be intelligent enough to see the position of everybody in relation to me. According to that, I can act. Then it will be constructive criticism, because it is positive, constructive criticism. Or order, constructive order. Not like this, do like this. But you are above, and somebody is above you, and you try to deal with him, then you have to humbly, you have to say, and you have to use humble words, and you have to say, my dear sir, oh, I think, I may be wrong, but what if I do like this? What if I do that? Or, my dear sir, I think, plus pardon me if I am wrong, but if you allow me to say, I want to say something, what you are doing. If you allow me, it's not my position, but I think this is wrong. So if you allow me. So then if you say like this, then that person may allow you or may not allow you. If they allow you, then you speak. If they don't allow you, I'm sorry. And back out. So this is how we have to deal with everybody. Then we are peaceful, blissful, happy. But otherwise, haywire. This is an art. One must learn how to deal with different living entities. We have to develop that art. Prabhupada has that art. He dealt with American, white, and he being Indian. And there can be many things, cultural differences, and so many things can be there. But he knew the art of engaging, ordering. In 2 months, Chaitanya Charitamrita must be printed. And impossible is the word in Fool's Dictionary. Go do it. So Prabhupada knew the art. And somebody very soft. Oh, you are doing that. Okay. Nice. Thank you. Toilet paper somebody brought. Oh, good. See, he's in devotional service. He's dealing with different mentality, with differently. He knew that art. So it is an art to deal with people. He criticized fools and rascals also. He used a lot of time and everything, and soft words also. So we have to learn that art of dealing with people criticizing, constructive criticism, correcting, and so on and so forth. It is art. So I'll stop here. Any question?
Is it an offense if you don't greet or don't talk with those initiated devotees who are not following nothing, no principles? They don't follow their guru also.
Well, if they don't follow their guru and they don't follow anything, then it is out of question. It is finished. They did not cap the vow of initiation. They are fallen. But better keep a distance. If I have to do something, I keep the distance with them. I have some disciples also like that. Not many, one or two. But I keep distance. And if he comes and say Hare Krishna, then I say Hare Krishna also. I don't keep that grudge or anything, but keep distance. It's called upeksha. Upeksha means, in English, avoid. Avoid the association. Avoid the interaction. Upeksha. He is on his way to hell because he left his guru and he is not following the initiation vow. So hell is certain. And if he has left the guru who is in a good standing, then hell is certain for him. It is Hari Bhakti Vilas. It is stated he will go to the hell. Another question, yes.
Under what circumstances we should choose devotees to guide us in spiritual life? What are the requirements?
The best person to guide you, if you are initiated, is your spiritual master. Why? Because he is your best well-wisher. And after that, which devotee we should choose? One who enlivens us from within our heart. That devotee we should choose, whom we can learn to listen, whom we have in full faith and full trust, and that person will not cheat me. That kind of understanding, one should have to choose a devotee who can guide us. And is he following his guru? Is he pure? Is he chanting? Is he following the religious principles? Is he in good standing? So all these parameters. But if everything matches, then last parameter is my heart should become enlivened by taking instruction from him. That is the most important thing. And can I learn to listen to what he says?
One devotee told that to cover head, it came from Muslims. Is it true?
No. Radharani is covering her hair and Sitarani is covering her hair. And Sitarani is about 30,000, 60,000 years ago. But not less than 30,000 years ago, this was the culture. Vedical, it is a spiritual world. Every gopis and ladies, and they cover their hair. So it is very cultural. We have to follow. Muslim, yes, they are wearing burqa because they have the same chastity. Women should be chaste and women should not open up everything like, dresses. And woman means disturbance in the society. Everybody's go wild. They will go wild. So in order to keep sanity and purity and unagitated minds, this is a good principle. Why woman? Why not man? Because the woman is most beautiful, attractive than a man. Who will get attracted to man? Of course, you have to cover up like dhoti, that's a Vedic style. And this upavastra you have to wear as a upper cloth. It's just a chadar we put it on. So, like that, culture. We must cover the woman because their body is most attractive, very attractive to every person. Every man is attracted to woman. And if he's not, he's not a man. It's very natural attraction. So, to restrict and control the agitation of a mind of general mass called society or called samaj or called society. This is a society, international society for Krishna consciousness. And we want to help men to control their mind And in ISKCON, everybody, all women, they come, you know, different dress, opening their body, then it's going to be agitation. And who is going to suffer the most? Woman. The most exploitation comes to woman than a man.
So Prabhupada says the hair is attraction in Kali Yuga.
Yeah. The woman's hairs are very, woman's hair, face, everything is so attractive to man, and man becomes agitated, and agitated mind means disturbance in the society. Varna Sankar Jayate, and then the religious principle will be broken up and they will not perform the religious Pindadan, Pindodaka Kriya, and the woman will be unprotected and unwanted praja. Unwanted praja is happening, Western world, left and right, it is happening, yes.
One more question regarding woman, what's the importance to tie hair, one's hair? Like woman in India, you know, that tying
hair.
What's the importance of it?
Yeah, the hairs, open hair means beauty. The woman beautifies when hair are open. And hair are considered to be inauspicious if it falls into food or this or that. It is not auspicious. That's why hair should be covered up. So it is a sign of irreligiosity. You know, Draupadi was, you know, dragged by the hair because of breaking her chastity. That was the idea, Dushasana. So more women are covered. She looks beautiful, look, and everything is covered, and a face. And when women, they cover up their face, and if you get a glimpse, it becomes so beautiful glance. But if he is open, lust arises. We have to create a culture. And this is Krishna conscious Vedic culture. We are following Veda. We are following Krishna. Krishna is our leader. Radharani is our leader. And we are following them. Ramchandra and Sitarani, we are following them.
But some people, they say this is like Indian culture. Nothing has to do with devotional service.
It's not a question of Indian culture. It is the culture of Krishna, means God culture. It is not Indian. Indian people are following Radha and Krishna and Sita and Ram. They are following them. They are following Krishna culture, Ram culture, not Indian culture. And India has no boundary. The culture, Bharat, has no boundary. Bharat Varsha means whole globe. And this was the culture. The whole planet was one. Parikshit Maharaj was one. Yudhishthira Maharaj was one king for the whole planet. Amrish Maharaj was one king for the whole planet. Chitraketu was king for the whole planet. We are following that ancient culture which India or Bharat shrink into Bharat, into India, that is following intact even today. So it is not Indian culture. It is a Vedic culture. Prabhupada didn't teach Indian culture. Prabhupada teach Vedic culture. Prabhupada teach Bhagavad. Bhagavad that time 5,000 years ago, and before that, the Bhagavad, it is ever existing. And it's not just for India. It is for whole creation. It is describing creation. It is describing Manu, who is the father of mankind, not Indian mankind. Manu is the father of all mankind. So it is not Indian culture. It is Manu culture, Krishna culture, Vedic culture. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.